I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a really exciting show for you this evening, jam-packed, full of information as usual. And I guess one of the things that was so exciting for me this week putting together the show was making this connection between spirituality and new scientific discoveries, especially in the area of quantum physics. And I guess one of the reasons I get so excited about that is it's always nice to be able to demonstrate proof of some of the amazing concepts that have been communicated through extraterrestrial channel information and other sources. And an example of that would be the power of water from Masaru Emoto, and the fact that you can go on your computer and actually see the molecular changes in water that come from the instilling of either positive or negative thought forms and emotion. And before we get into a lot of this information this evening, I would like to express my gratitude and appreciation to our listening audience, and also welcome a continuing new group of listeners from Glastonbury Radio in the UK. It's an affiliate of BBS, and they've picked up ET Yoga. And I'd also like to mention that for those who would like to email me with questions that could be answered privately, or suggestions that you may have for topics for the ET Yoga show, you can email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I'd also like to welcome our new listeners to take a look at my website at Healing the Known and Unknown, and that's at maxwellgreensite.com. And at maxwellgreensite.com, you can also find some free downloads, specifically in the area of self-empowerment, and also download in relation to those who are in some form of abusive relationship. So that's at maxwellgreensite.com. Maxwell as in coffee, green as in the color, site.com. And so to sort of kick things off this evening, one of the discoveries in quantum science, that they discovered that compassion is the emotion that transforms DNA from carbon to crystalline. But not only that, as we transform our DNA, we unlock the disconnected 10 strands and realign, reconnect, and activate them. And I thought coming across this material was particularly synchronistic with reference to the fact that we spent a fair amount of time on last week's show talking about the emotions of gratitude, compassion, and unconditional love. And I guess this week's show will also focus on some of the scientific support for a lot of those comments that we did make last week. And further to that, the thymus, is an extraordinary organ with a multidimensional purpose. When activated, it enables us to transmute anger, shame, guilt, resentment into compassion. And as we clear, the earth doesn't have to do it for us. This means that the earth changes won't occur or will be less powerful. They are Mother Nature's way to cleanse herself of our emotional baggage. And as for economic disasters and war, that can be prevented by us clearing the old dysfunctional beliefs within us that trigger an anger, that trigger our anger and fear. And as we bring peace to our inner worlds, that peace is reflected in our outer world. And world leaders don't have to go to war, and solutions to economic crises are found. And I guess I'd like to also refer our listeners to an interesting article I came across yesterday. Actually, it's a 20-minute interview, and it's at chessbase.com. And it's an interview with Kenneth Rogoff, who was a grandmaster chess player and was a former executive of the International Monetary Fund. And I think he's got some quite interesting perspectives on the current economic crisis. And I'm not going to spend time on that this evening, but we'll point you in that direction for a very interesting interview. And that's Kenneth Rogoff, R-O-G-O-F-F, at www.chessbase.com. And in connection with emotion and wars and economic situations, I'd like to point out a quote from one of the psychic children. If you choose peace now and allow your minds to flow to that reality, then the political systems will adjust on their own, and you will see results of that in your world. Your emotions are the key. It is the tool you will use to draw the chosen world into your conscious experience. Your collective emotions have the ability to influence weather patterns and even end wars. You have done this many times without realizing it. If you continue claiming the world you want by feeling that world in your emotions, then it will be so. But if you continue to be influenced by the fear that is so present today, then the world will reflect that as well. And I think this is also connected to a recent discovery in the field of quantum medicine, which revealed that we have a second neural network in our bodies, and it is located in our hearts. Furthermore, it was discovered that this field, rather than the one in the brain, is the one that interfaces with the morphogenetic field around us. And this is also known as the field, or the mirror of life and our reality. And to me, this really connects with Bashar information and Bashar's comments that outer circumstances don't matter. Only state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? Well, if you prefer joy, choose joy as an emotion and view the outer circumstances from that perspective and then act accordingly. And to me, clearly, the fact that he's talking about creating a frequency, really, of emotion in the heart, and that this is what really matters. And in support of that, the heart was shown to have an electromagnetic energy field as well, 5,000 times greater than that of the brain. And this field can be actually measured with magnetometers. And the field exists up to 10 feet beyond the physical body. And this provides support for the spiritual teachings that indicate that we humans have energy fields that constantly intermingle with each other, enabling healing or negative thoughts to be extended and exchanged. So I think this is just a major connection and support for what Bashar has been teaching for many, many years, and that is that outer circumstances don't matter, not in the sense that they're insignificant, but that outer circumstances don't create more circumstances. It's the inner vibration that creates circumstances. And now that this connection has been made, that it is the brain and the heart that interfaces with the morphogenetic field around us. And they call this the field or the mirror of life and our reality, and which also obviously connects with more of Bashar's teachings that the outer world is a mirror of our beliefs, definitions, emotions, thoughts, and that what we experience in the outer world is of our own creation. And in conjunction with this, I've actually was reading an article. Through Jalayla Starr and a channeling that she did with Devon. And a quote from that goes like this: "The dark forces know that there is only one technology against which they are powerless, and it is the same technology that will set you free. It's called compassion. 2003 was the proverbial fork in the road, but in this case, there will be four forks, and each fork will be a different reality. These realities will begin to manifest physically. In other words, there will be four parallel Earths, a 3D, 4D, 5D, and 9D dimensional Earth, physically manifesting as a result of the major shifts in consciousness. This is where you will separate as individuals and groups. Until now, these four realities have overlapped, but in 2003, they began to separate and be distinct from each other." And I thought that was an interesting comment, because I'm not personally certain about this time frame of when these different dimensional Earths started to separate, but it clearly connects, for those who have been following some of the Dan Burrish information. And basically, in his comments, he's talked about a lot of money being put into a computer analysis to try to differentiate the frequencies of some of these different future probable realities. And by the way, the newest news flash from Dan Burrish regarding the concern that many have had about a possible or potential Earth catastrophe, and the fact that some extraterrestrials have indicated that as far back as about 60 years ago that this was a probable reality for the Earth, I think it was really interesting to note that he's now come out and said that on March 28th of 2009 was the actual date of the Earth catastrophe on a particular timeline that eventually ended up causing certain people from the Earth different scenarios. Those who survived on the surface went to certain places in the universe, and certain ones that survived underground survived in other places. And interesting to note that as far as timelines and probable future realities are concerned, at this point, as you might say, all bets are off. It's like we're creating a clean slate. So I thought that was an interesting perspective coming from those who seem to have their hands on the most recent discoveries in science, as well as back-engineered and extraterrestrial technologies that are available. And I think this also connects these future probable realities. I know Dan Burrish, I think he made a very positive point when he was apparently utilizing some of the ET technologies that have been collected from crashed craft. And he talks about Looking Glass, and he talks about the cube, and the potential for these to show future probable realities, and how important the expectation of the viewer is, and in creating either a positive or negative scenario, or in attracting the person to a positive or negative scenario. And we're going to get into some more of that this evening, because we're going to be doing some talk about fundamental concepts of how quantum physics fits into this whole scenario. However, I think it's worth pointing out that, as Bashar would say, I will put it to you this way, there are an infinite number of probable Earths, and every single possible scenario will play out, and more precisely, is playing out now, since all time is actually simultaneous. However, whatever each individual's vibratory frequency is, that is the determining factor for what probable future reality Earth they will experience. And I think in connection to the comments about lessening some of the catastrophes, again from Bashar, in some cases it will be severe, in other areas it will not be felt at all. It will depend upon the infrastructure that has been laid down in certain areas on your planet, since there is much diversity in your world and many different approaches to different things. Different areas will likewise experience the result and consequence in different ways. The basic thing to understand is that when individuals begin to lay down other systems, alternate systems, new ideas, and put them into place, then it will not really matter if the old systems crumble or collapse, for new ones will be there ready and willing to take their place and take up what you call the slack. Now, at the same time, sometimes what you would call a break from the old paradigm may be a welcome thing and give individuals a chance to rethink how they go about setting up certain systems, to allow them in the future to become far more flexible, less rigid, and this is a metaphor for how you really need to live your lives as well. So Bashar says, I would simply overall suggest that you don't really worry about it, for I will tell you this with absolute certainty, the more you worry about it being a problem, the more you magnetically will draw yourself into a circumstance where you will experience it as a problem. Instead, I would suggest that you allow yourself to treat it as an amazing opportunity to allow systems to shift and change very rapidly, and that you position yourself by your energy and your own certainty so that you will know that you will be where you need to be, when you need to be there, and so that you will experience, no matter what anybody else's experience, you will personally experience only a beneficial result from such a consequence instead of a negative one. And I think the concept here of overlapping probable future realities and attracting yourself to the ones that you are inclined to or interested in, much like a multitude of television channels operating all at the same time, but you tuning into the frequency that you want. These are concepts that those who preach that it's too little, too late, fail to recognize this concept, and actually coming from, in my opinion, a lower vibrational level. And also, in essence, I think that we'll tune out the lives of others who are of lesser or greater state of consciousness. A basic understanding of the quantum physics, I think, will bear this out. Because in each version of reality, there will be greater or lesser amounts of fear and earth changes. The third dimensional earth will see the greatest amount of changes, while the ninth dimensional earth will see virtually none. Which version you end up in will be determined by the choices you make in response to the events staged by the dark forces. If you respond with compassion, not buying into the fear, realizing that they are only playing their role to wake people up so that people will take back their power, you will find yourself experiencing a less traumatic, more harmonious reality. And if you choose to fight the dark, asking and using any of their methods, you will find yourself living a less harmonious, more painful life. And why, you may ask? Well, when we fight something or someone, we do so because we believe they have more power than we do. And in doing so, we give power to that person or thing, And not only do we empower them, we physically manifest that fear in our own lives. And I think this is also consistent with Bashar's teachings, that when you go against the negative, similarly to the concept of judgment, that you bring your own vibration to that level. And actually you end up doing what you don't prefer, because what you really do is perpetuate that energy. And the optimum approach to those situations is to create a new positive. And speaking of quantum physics, I think it's about that time that we get into some of that material, because the first thing that was discovered is that we are all the same one energy. And although modern quantum physics hasn't adopted Bashar's concept of prime radiant as yet, and I think that in a short while they probably will. And basically Bashar's concept is that, for lack of going into detail about the substance or constitution of a particle or a wave, Bashar's theory is that everything is one particle that travels at infinite speed, and when it crosses itself, it creates dimensions. And so that everything that exists in the universe is actually the same energy seen from different perspectives. And if you're interested in physical demonstration of this, you can go on the YouTube to Bashar's Lab, B-A-S-H-A-R, Bashar's Lab on YouTube. And a very interesting a physical demonstration there, a little experiment with two lights. And when the first light is on, it can be said that this is the one particle. And then there's another light across the room that's lit up, and the other one is turned off. And so it can be said that the particle moved from one place to another. And then they move it back again and back and forth and back and forth. But as you increase the speed, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, what you end up with eventually is increasing the speed to the point where it appears as if the light is in both places at once, because both lights are on. And this is the same basic concept, that when you have a particle that can travel at infinite speed, it can be all places at once, and thus giving us the illusion of reality. But as it might turn out, and I think it probably will, that quantum science will adopt Bashar's prime radiant theory, at least at this point, they're all on the same page, that we're all the same one energy, which I think is the key point. And the subatomic particles, or waves, being studied by the scientists respond to, transmuted, and appeared as particles, solid objects, based on the individual thought of the scientist who was studying it. In other words, it was the scientist's mode of thinking that determined what it would be. And I think this really ties in, again, with the concept that your expectation determines the outer experience that you are attracted to, and also that your belief affects the outer reality as well. In other words, the energy being studied began taking form immediately based on the thoughts and beliefs of the scientist who was observing it. If a scientist studied this energy with the expectation, thought, or belief of seeing particles, then particles were observed. If another scientist studied them with the expectation of seeing waves, then waves were observed. If they were studied with the expectation of first being seen as waves and then changing to particles, or vice versa, that's exactly what happened. And the conclusion was that this energy, these subatomic particles, acted and responded in exact proportion to the thoughts and beliefs that the scientist who was studying them had at that moment. This discovery further proved to the scientists that anything and everything that exists in our world once existed as a wave, you can call that spiritual, and through individual observation and expectation was transformed into a particle, or made physical, based only on what they thought and believed it would appear as. Now, to take this step further, scientists discovered that when these subatomic particles were broken in half or separated in a laboratory setting, they had the ability to communicate with each other, and that communication is received immediately from one to the other with zero regard to space and time as we know it, regardless of how far apart they might be. And this totally blows away any of the old theories that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, that energy doesn't need to travel, it's already interconnected with all other energy. And this means that everything in the entire cosmos is nothing but a huge vibrating ball of interconnected infinite energy, which has the ability to communicate into infinity with no regard to space and time. And what this energy joins together to form is based only on individual thought. Your thoughts, which are also energy, which are determined by your beliefs, are broadcast outward into the infinite field of wave energy, much like a radio frequency transformed from waves, and that's the spiritual realm, to particles, or matter, and joined together with additional energies which vibrate at a harmonious frequency, and collectively join to shape what you come to see and experience in physical form in the physical world. Your physical world really is your capital U universe. You quite literally have the ability to mold and shape the various areas of your life based on how you choose to think, believe, and feel. And this is how our world was created to operate. Regardless of what you may currently believe to be true, you are not the victim of some capricious set of circumstances. You are quite literally the creator of your reality. And quantum physics tells us that this is the act of observing an object, events, conditions, and circumstances that causes it to be there, and the outcome is based only on our choice of how we observe it. An object cannot and does not exist independently of its observer. And I think this is really tied into both Bashar teachings and Pleiadian teachings, that the meaning that you put on a circumstance creates the experience that you get from it. I mean, this is quantum proof that the experiment that we challenge people to do on ET Yoga on a weekly basis, which is to put a positive spin on outer circumstance, and that even if you initially view something as negative, if you sit back and say to yourself, even if can't see any possible way this can turn out positive, put a positive spin on the outer circumstance, and then log it, keep track, and see how the experience eventually turns out. And I think that the quantum physics, Bashar, the Pleiadians, you know, they're all on the same page here, that the meaning you give to a circumstance determines the experience you'll get out of it, and how highly, highly important belief is. And I know it's one of the reasons a few months back we did a show, a whole show, just on belief. And now what we're seeing is more and more proof every day of the powers of the emotions of unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude, and how science is confirming the importance and the amazing influence of these emotions once we're locked into them. And I think I'd like to give an example here, that if you believe at some level, whether consciously or subconsciously, that money is difficult to come by, the projected energy emitted and broadcast will harmonize with energy of a harmonious waveform, transmute
into particles, which attract additional particles that harmonize with it, and your life will reflect that of money being difficult to come by. Or the opposite. If you believe that money flows to you effortlessly and maintain the conscious and subconscious beliefs regarding that, you will find that money becomes easy to acquire. Taken a step further, if you can conceive and believe in the materialization of your biggest hopes and dreams and desires, they already exist as a wave in the quantum field, which is infinite in nature, as a probability of existence only awaiting you to make them real. And again, this is consistent with all the Bashar teachings, that there are an infinite number of possibilities, and it's not really some matter a matter of creating what you want, but more of attracting it into your experience because it already exists. And in connection with this, we've also made some comments about global perspectives and global consciousness. Well, it turns out that since 1998, the Global Consciousness Project has monitored 50 diode machines around the globe in an effort to determine if the consciousness of mankind actually exists. And through the use of white noise signals, these machines are believed to have the ability to measure if the morphogenetic field is influenced by our behaviors, our interactions with other beings, or even the occurrence of tragic world events. Fascinatingly, the disturbances have been detected hours before the event even happened. For example, all 50 diodes worldwide simultaneously registered a disturbance in the morphogenetic field 5 hours before the first plane crashed into the World Trade Center. And I think what we can see is that where science is headed with this is that more and more they'll be able to gain a handle on the collective global consciousness. And I think that would be a fascinating experiment as well, to see how, in fact, we as a group create our outer experience. And so I think that what we're seeing really happening in the world today is what we're seeing as science supporting and backing up a lot of these spiritual concepts, and certainly the concept that thought creates, and how important our beliefs are, and how the emotions in the heart affect and provide the outer frequency. So if you keep a positive frequency in the heart, the only possible reflection will be positive. And I think it's also interesting to note that there are just so many positive good news stories out there in the world today, and unfortunately some of them only make the small print in the newspapers. And in fact, it was about a year ago, we did a show on ET Yoga about amazing discoveries that virtually the average person on the streets never heard of. Aside from the simultaneous communication of energy at the quantum level, the Clive Baxter effect, for example, which showed the instantaneous communication between plants. And also, there have been scientific experiments that surpass the speed of light as well. And we don't really, at least I was amazed when I was starting to do the show on amazing experiments that virtually nobody knows about, because it's just, they are, there's truly amazing things going on in the world. And I guess another interesting concept are these future probable realities. And in an article, it was by a Devon through Jalila Starr, and this was in September 29th of 2008. There's a perspective here on that I think some of us might be interested in on 2009 in terms of future probable realities or probable events for 2009 to 2012. And four of these included a false first contact with a U.S.-involved ET group, two, a U.S.-China war fought on the economic front, an inundation of Southern California coastline, and an inundation of a Northeast coastline. And I guess this article is Nairobian in nature, because they say that the time healers have the distinct advantage of being able to simultaneously view the past and future, not just of your world, but of all worlds. And they are able to project along the timelines of a specific planet to see the events most likely to occur. Please keep in mind that all events are not set in stone. What they see is the degree of energy surrounding possible events. And based on the level of planetary consciousness, along with behavioral trends, they're able to discern the most probable events. And they say probable events have a 90% or greater chance of occurring. One of the reasons I guess this kind of caught my eye was that the fake first contact with extraterrestrials connected with me with two other places. This was also brought up through a channeling of Pleiadians about a false first contact, and also through Celia Finn of Archangel Michael, who also mentioned that this was a high probability. And keeping in mind that you can positively impact the above referenced events so that they either don't occur or are negated to a great degree. And the article through Jalela continues by, let's explore how. We have spoken many times of how souls evolve in this universe. They evolve by playing a game, if you will, of the highest order. We refer to it as the polarity integration game. The goal of the game is to integrate all aspects of light and dark. Integration occurs when a soul achieves compassion in the midst of challenging and painful events. Compassion is the frequency of the void, the place where all matter, all polarity is neutralized and returned to raw energy. Earth plays a special role in the polarity integration game. She is a planet set aside and sequestered in a remote corner of the galaxy, enveloped in a cloak of amnesia and gifted with free will. As such, Earth provides the blessed opportunity for all galactic races to work out the conflicts that have occurred as they explored various aspects of light and dark through varying culture and beliefs. This is important to remember because all events on your world are occurring as part of this experiment. With the migration of souls from other worlds to Earth, their timelines have followed. The events on your world today are a recreation of all the timeline events of the galactic worlds, and those referenced above are a replay of events during the final days of those worlds. In particular, the timelines of the planet Muldek, now part of your asteroid belt, along with those of three destroyed planets from the Sirius B star system, are being replayed. Their dead timelines have been woven into Earth's timetable in order to provide the souls from those worlds the opportunity to continue their evolution. Participants from both sides of those ancient conflicts have incarnated, with some holding powerful positions in government, banking, and industry in your world. Both sides have recreated their roles and developed long-range plans, once again based on what they feel is right. On one hand, you have those who desire to create a one-world government, religion, and monetary system. And on the other, there are those who wish to create unity, but without sacrificing individual rights and freedoms. It's the most ancient power struggle, replayed again and again in the universal game. It may manifest with variations, but the outcome has been the same. This brings me to the most important part of the Time Healer's message, making compassionate choices.
Regardless of what role is played, every human being on Earth is a soul who has incarnated for the purpose of soul growth. On each soul's life blueprint, their roadmap through life that was created by them before they incarnated, there are lessons to be learned. Each lesson is about a specific fear and the dysfunctional belief that fosters it. A set of circumstances will occur through which that lesson is played out. With each lesson, there are five options. I will call them A, B, C, D, and E. And option E is one in which compassion is achieved. And option A requires the greatest amount of courage and the complete willingness to walk into the fear in order to integrate or dissolve it. It requires the individual to acknowledge how he or she is co-creating the events of the lesson and take responsibility. If a soul chooses to option A, they will obtain the greatest amount of growth and their path will be a little easier. If, on the other hand, option E is chosen, then they run from the fear and will have to recreate the lesson with more challenges. The events in your future all have these five options for soul growth, with each probable event, and can help minimize or eliminate it by making personal, compassionate choices. Keep in mind that whatever the people choose on an individual level is what will be chosen by the government, as the government is a reflection of the people's consciousness. And I liked a couple of points in particular there, in that facing fear and also taking responsibility. And again, this goes back to Bashar's teachings, in that he talks a fair amount about facing challenges and taking 100% responsibility for your outer experience. In other words, by acknowledging the responsibility is your point of power, because then you have the ability to respond. And if you're the one that's creating it, then obviously you have the power to make adaptations or change your preferences in terms of what you're experiencing. And so again, the word compassion came up, because clearly compassion is a very, very powerful emotion. And I've also been told that in terms of external mind control devices are less impacted by those with the crystalline structure as opposed to carbon-based. And, you know, along that line of amazing good news is the concept or the idea of the super psychic kids. And I know that many people just have never heard about these super psychics. And I'd like to share with you, because it's a great good news article, about super psychic kids by Keith Varnum, and the amazing powers of the new children. In increasing numbers every year, new children are being born around the world who have X-ray vision, move objects through the air with their minds, and know the future. And these abilities are just the tip of the iceberg. The new kids on the block are able to move solid objects through solid materials, read balls of papers placed in their ears, bend spoons solely through intention, communicate telepathically, and read with parts of their bodies other than their eyes. These innocent children are demonstrating natural spiritual abilities that are relegated by most people to the realms of fantasy and movie special effects. And specifically related to this is the China's Wonder Youth. Since 1974, the Chinese government has discovered over 100,000 children who have extraordinary psychic powers. These children, when blindfolded, can see with either their ears, nose, mouth, tongue, armpits, hands, or feet.
In one test conducted by Omni Magazine, researchers randomly ripped a page from a stack of books. The page was then crumpled into a small ball and placed in the armpit of a Chinese child, who then read perfectly every word on the balled-up piece of paper. Chinese kids can also read the spotted-up ball under their feet, in their ears, and even by chewing it up. Another remarkable feat that over 5,000 young Chinese have demonstrated publicly is the passing of solid objects through another solid object. A child randomly selects a glass bottle of pills, which is sealed in its original plastic wrap and then placed on a large bare table. Suddenly, the pills inside the sealed bottle pass through the glass and appear on the table. The child can also take a coin, put it on the table, and the coin will pass into the sealed bottle. A young girl named Yang Li can remove cigarettes from inside a cardboard box without touching the box. One boy can control mechanical watches, making them run fast or slow, and another can make watch hands move quickly around the watch face without touching them. In the next area, natural X-ray vision. A 12-year-old girl, Hu Lian, can see inside a person's body. Hu saw a piece of shrapnel left inside a man's body and accurately drew its shape. Other children were tested in hospitals on their accuracy in medical diagnosis. Out of 75 cases, the children were completely accurate in 80% of the cases. In trials viewing fetal positions, they were correct 84% of the time. Invoking roses to bloom, a young Chinese girl has demonstrated her ability to influence live rosebuds that over 1,000 audience members were holding in their own hands. With a silent wave of her hand, the 1,000 rosebuds would slowly open into fully blossomed roses before the eyes of the astonished audience. And under the strict discipline of scientific research controls, the Chinese government has observed these same children changing human DNA molecules in a petri dish. The Chinese government has set up training schools to assist these children to develop and pass on to others their psychic abilities. The officials discovered that when they have children who aren't psychic socialize with the psychic children, the non-psychic children quickly absorb the ability to perform the same astounding feats as the psychic kids. And over 1,000 children were found in Mexico City who were able to see using the exact same body parts as the kids in China. Blindfolded, an 18-year-old Mexican girl, Inge Bardor, can accurately know everything about the people or place in a photo simply by touching the photo. Inge can also describe the person who took the picture and what the photographer was wearing that day. In the 70s, Uri Geller could bend a metal object just by looking at them, which was substantiated by scientists at Stanford University Research Institute, demonstrating his psychic power on TV all over Europe. Geller once asked people to place knives, spoons, and forks in front of their television sets, and with millions of witnesses, Geller bent tableware in the studio before their eyes on TV, and he bent the tableware in the homes of Europeans watching the show. This single act had an interesting side effect. From phone calls after the show, it was discovered that over 1,500 children were able to absorb the same spoon-bending ability just by watching it happen one time on TV. The new children have come to Earth with a clear purpose. These kids know who they are, why they're here. They carry a new vibration and have come to transform the consciousness of humanity. They're here to vibrate an energy of peace and love for Earth. As they vibrate and visualize light in places that are dark, they are changing human consciousness. Their energy provides a fresh, innocent, powerful perspective and tone for people who are searching for new, more viable solutions to society's problems and challenges. And the University of Virginia has been doing studies on children who remember past lives. These children say things like, "I have another daddy. When I was big, I used to have a car. That happened before I was in mommy's tummy." Just like their counterparts around the world, some of these children can see into the future and move objects with their focused attention. And Newsweek magazine reports that the rise in IQ scores throughout the developed world is so sharp that it implies that the average school child today is as bright as the near geniuses of yesteryear. One ability that especially stands out is in the kids' rise is nonverbal intelligence. the ability to know or intuit information. The new children are natural creative problem solvers. And medical researchers at UCLA are discovering some youngsters with a unique DNA pattern no one else has. They have 24 active DNA codons. People normally have only 20 active codons, and these children have a remarkable resistance to illness and seem to be immune from disease. And speaking of those kids that seem to be immune from disease, a fascinating article showed up from Diane Cooper, who interviewed Dronvalo Melchizedek, and that was about these kids. And apparently about 11 years ago in the United States, there was a baby born with AIDS, and they tested him at birth and at 6 months, and he tested positive for AIDS. They tested him a year later, and he still was positive. Then they didn't test him again until he was six. And what was amazing is that this test showed that he was completely AIDS-free. In fact, there was no trace that he ever had AIDS or HIV whatsoever. He was taken to UCLA to see what was going on, and those tests showed that he didn't have normal human DNA. In the human DNA, we have four nucleic acids that combine in sets of three, producing 64 different patterns that are called codons. And human DNA all over the world always has 20 of these codons turned on, and the rest of them are turned off, except for three, which are the stop and start codes, much like a computer. Science always assumed that the ones that were turned off were old programs from our past. Well, this boy had 24 codons turned on, four more than any other human being. Then they tested this kid to see how strong his immune system was. They took a very lethal dose of AIDS in a petri dish and mixed it with some of his cells, and his cells remained completely unaffected. They kept raising the lethalness of the composition and finally went up to 3,000 times more than what was necessary to infect a human being, and his cells stayed completely disease-free. Then they started testing his blood with other things like cancer and discovered that this kid was immune to everything. Then they found another kid with these codons turned on, then another, and then 10,000, then 100,000, then a million of them. And at this point, UCLA, by watching worldwide DNA testing, estimates that 1% of the world has this new DNA. And that breaks down to approximately 60 million people who are not human by the old criteria. It's mostly in children, but now they are finding adults with it too, just like the 100th monkey theory. Now all kinds of people are being affected by it, and it's spreading fast. The other part of this concerns the new book entitled Cracking the Bible Code, which has to do with running the Hebrew books of the Bible through a specialized computer program. And if you go to page 164 of this book, it shows where these researchers put the AIDS into the program to see what would happen. And when they did, the program translation provided words like HIV, in the blood, the immune system, death, all the things you would think you'd see around the word AIDS. But down in the corner was this sentence that they didn't understand, and it said, the end of disease. And that is what Dronvalo believes is happening. Science has stated that there are so many people showing up with this new alien DNA that they now believe that a new human race is being born on the earth today, and apparently they can't get sick. Now, what is really incredible, they believe that it is a very specific emotional mental body response, a waveform coming off the body that is causing the DNA to mutate in a certain way. And Dronvalo says that he sat with Greg Braden, who was one of the first persons to write about this, and what they believe, and I do too, is that there are three parts to this phenomenon. The first part is the mind that sees unity. It sees the flower of life. It sees everything interconnected in all ways. And on ET Yoga, that's the major concept. We started off with the top of the show that everything was one energy, and referred our listeners to the Bashar's lab on YouTube, because it'll give you a visual idea of how you can see that and also to use it practically in your life. And it doesn't see anything as separate. And the second part of this consciousness is to be centered in the heart, to be loving. And the third thing is to step out of polarity, to no longer judge the world. As long as we are judging the world as good or bad, then we are inside polarity and remain in the fallen state. And Dronvala believes that the people with the new DNA have somehow stepped out of judging and are in a state where they see everything as one and feeling love. And this certainly is consistent with the ET Yoga shows for the last few weeks. Last week we spent pretty much the whole program connecting people with the whole concept of judgment and how it is at the root cause of all problems. And this ability to not judge, to see the world as a perfectly evolving situation is key, and as well as this whole concept of unconditional love and how powerful that is. And from what we hear from the extraterrestrial sources, that these energies of unconditional love, compassion and gratitude are being sent as well from the center of the galaxy in this direction. And I'm hoping that a lot of this information tonight strikes our listeners as very welcomed information, to know that there's clearly a humanity is mutating to a higher level, and that I'm very confident that disease, we've just about, it's pretty much run its course. Like, we have the ability, we have the technology, we have the spirituality to see that an end to disease, and the understandings of why it comes about, how we create it, and how to solve it are clearly within our grasp. And I'd like to say at this time that I sincerely wish for your full attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and I hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.